Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. On a black background, words appear. A Netflix documentary. A Relativity production. In association with Media Weaver Entertainment, City Room Creative, Hyperion Media, and Parco Company Limited. In slow motion, young people in bathing suits dance at a Steve Aoki concert, gallons of water splashing off of them. Steve lifts his outstretched arms, encouraging them.
You can't compare Steve to any other DJs. He has his own role in the DJ world.
Tiësto, DJ producer.
He's one of the first entertainers that took DJing to a different spot.
Afrojack, DJ producer. Steve dances on stage at various shows. Words appear. Pete Tong, DJ, BBC Radio 1 host.
I think Steve was that force of nature. That's what made him stand out. He was a larger-than-life character.
Steve charges across a stage holding a birthday cake. He slams it into a group of screaming fans.
Dance music doesn't really have a personality.
Diplo, DJ producer.
Steve has an overabundance of personality.
In a series of concert clips, Steve lifts his arms to the air with the audience. He slams a cake reading Dim Mak into the front row fans. He twirls his shirt above his head, cheering with the crowd. In voiceover.
It's very much elements of punk rock shows.
An audience catches Steve as he stage dives.
But he's flipped them and made them his own.
Travis Barker, drummer, Blink 182. Steve hurls a cake over his audience, then slams another into the front rows with Diplo.
If you don't know Steve personally, you're going to have a perception of him right away.
In slow motion, Steve pops open a champagne bottle and hoses the crowd with it. Words appear. Jason Bentley, DJ, KCRW music director.
I don't know how he could be in a rowboat in the middle of the crowd and be DJ.
At an outdoor concert, Steve hops up and down while DJing. Indoors, he wears a pair of mist-spraying robotic gauntlets. Stage dancers wear neon-lit robot suits with similar mist cannons.
If you're doing something that people are a bit afraid of or are against, I think you're doing something right.
Felix Kartal, former Dim Mak artist. Steve blasts his fan with a flamethrower-styled mist cannon. He sprays champagne into the air from his mouth with Jason Bentley.
That's what EDM is now. It's more of a big spectacle show.
Robots spray arcs of mist over a screaming crowd. Steve blasts mist into the air from a hose. Now he addresses a packed concert. They hold their arms in the air with Steve. He bows to them. With Pete Tong.
Everybody asks the question, you know, where's it going? And I think the evolution of the scene will be more about characters and personalities. Steve was always more than a DJ.
On a beach, words appear. Newport Beach, Southern California. Tiernan Cowling, Steve's girlfriend.
I forgot that your mom moved here without your dad. How often would you see him in the year?
We would do like two trips, usually like summertime and wintertime. I would always look forward to it. I'd just wait to see him again and look forward to these trips. I used to skate right there.
In a car, he points out a passing street corner.
Growing up, my brother and sister already were in college. So from 8 on, it was like my mom raising me. You know, I'd see my dad whenever I could.
Words appear. Kevin Aoki, Steve's brother.
My father divorced my mother when Steven was very young.
Their parents smile in photos.
So my mother really raised us in the Japanese culture, in American setting.
Words appear. Chizuru Aoki, Steve's mother. In subtitles, he didn't have any Japanese friends. Words appear. Dan Sina, Steve's childhood friend.
He was stuck in this whitewashed world. He didn't have Asian peers of his own that he could connect with.
At Steve's high school, he walks with Tiernan.
When I grew up, it was like, which clique can I be a part of, you know? Yeah. And I tried a bunch.
On the football field.
Freshman year, I was trying to find something that I could be a part of.
Yeah.
So I joined the football team.
A football team photo of Steve.
They're all jocks and they're all big and I was only like 100 pounds. Never let me play, no matter what. I would
Why
never
they bring
play.
You on the team then?
I don't know, because they have to. It's like almost like affirmative action. Like they have to let like everyone have a chance. I tried other traditional sports and none of them worked out. They're always big fails.
Did you ever get teased and picked on a lot then?
The only real fight I had was playing badminton. I was a badminton player. And there's this one fucking asshole. He's just saying just a tirade of racial slurs. hey, you fucking nip, you fucking gook, you slant eye, yeah, yeah, you think you're gonna fucking win. Just so blatant, it was like out of a movie.
Yeah.
All his friends were laughing behind him. I couldn't believe it. And I was just sitting there, just like kept on looking back at him, like so angry. Yeah. Just so angry that his friends are all laughing and they're all allowing this and no one's doing shit, man. No one's doing shit.
A photo of teenage Steve with bleached hair in a spacious living room.
You know, especially when you're a kid growing up and you're the bench warmer and you're the kid that like has a hard time making friends. You definitely don't think you're going to be someone of any influence at all.
Yearbook photos of Steve throughout his life.
I wanted to be a popular kid. I wanted everyone to like me. I wanted to fit in.
With Chizuru, Steven never said anything to me, but he really missed his father. In a childhood photo with Steve's dad, words appear. Rocky Aoki, founder of Benihana, Hall of Fame wrestler, offshore boat racing champion, world backgammon champion.
I think he's always going to be trying to prove himself to his father. As much as he may not want to admit it, I think Rocky is the main driving force behind all of his passion projects in life. He had such a major influence, or lack thereof, in Steve's life, which drove Steve to want to strive to be something greater than any other human being wants to be.
Smiling, young Steve makes a gun with his hand pointed at Rocky. Steve's father looks away. On a black background, words appear. To celebrate the release of his new album, Steve is planning the most ambitious show of his career at Madison Square Garden. In New York City, Steve greets fans on the open top of a bus.
Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Steve Aoki.
Outside a circular building, words appear. Madison Square Garden, New York, at a press conference.
When I think of playing here, I think about this long journey from when I first started playing music, going from small clubs to bigger venues to festivals, and now to the point where, as an artist, as an electronic artist, actually playing at Madison Square Garden is one of those rare moments, and I'm just completely humbled by it. And with that, I'm proud to announce that I'm going to be releasing my two-part album, Neon Future, something I've been working on for over 2 years now. You know, New York also is a very special place for me. It's my dad lived here all my life, so I have a very big heart for New York City. And, you know, I know how proud he would be if he was here, that his son is fucking playing Madison Square Garden. It's fucking... That's fucking crazy, man. I just can't...
Steve shuts his eyes. Steve rubs his mouth, gazing into the distance. In voiceover.
Growing up, it was always, how do I impress my father? How can I show him I'm going to be successful?
Teenage Steve smiles with Rocky.
He idolized our father, as did, you know, all of my brothers and sisters.
Devin Aoki, Steve's sister.
He'd always push his kids to work harder.
Steve takes a morning jog.
There was never like a break. We could never have a break. He never did help me out. It's very Japanese, that kind of drive and ambition and work ethic.
Steve continues running in the empty early morning streets with Chizuru in subtitles. Steven's father had a very big heart, but he could be selfish too. He would be so focused on what he wanted to achieve, he would forget about his family. In a shower, Steve stands under the falling water, his head bowed. The cascade soaks through his long black hair. On an old TV, retro footage depicts Rocky's various televised appearances.
They call him Rocky Aoki.
Rocky Aoki.
Rocky Aoki.
Rocky Aoki.
Rocky Aoki.
At a boat race, Rocky sprays champagne.
My father first came to the U.S. as a wrestler in the Japanese Olympic team. When he was in New York, he defected from the group and ended up staying in the city.
With the money he saved from being an ice cream man in Harlem, he opened his first Benihana in New York.
A Benihana chef cooks in a commercial.
I'm Rocky Aoki. When I came to this country 9 years ago, I had a dream. I'd introduce Hibachi cuisine to America. The people loved it. Today, Benihanas are everywhere. If you haven't eaten at the Benihana, you missed out on a great American institution.
He was a genius with marketing. He brought over chefs from Japan and had them cook right at the table. He injected entertainment and showmanship into Japanese cuisine.
A chef deftly juggles his spices while cooking.
His work ethic was unparalleled to anyone I've ever met in my life.
Rocky lifts weights, now on Oprah.
I don't have to sleep. I sleep 4 hours a day. I work 16, 17 hours a day.
Very nice. Very nice.
It seemed like he knew everyone. Hanging out with Muhammad Ali, John Lennon, you know, all these influential people. I mean, he was right in the middle of it.
Rocky, how you doing?
Everything he did was always focused on one thing, Benihana.
A commercial shows one of the restaurants.
Besides being a restaurateur, he was a sportsman.
Rocky suits up for boat racing.
He was a daredevil.
His boats rocket across the water.
The guy was fucking crazy like that. He broke a world record, hot air ballooning. He didn't really know what the fuck he was doing. He just did it.
I'm not afraid of dying. I don't give a damn. I'm gonna live forever.
His boat skips across the water.
I'm not as crazy, because he really was fucking nuts.
Aoki was thrown into the water.
The speedboat flipped over in San Francisco Bay.
Oh my God, it looks like the whole boat may go.
He's nearly been killed on several occasions.
Even while lying in a hospital bed, though, Aoki said he plans to push ahead with his quest to become the fastest man on water.
Rocky sails, now with Dan Sena.
His dad was almost like a superhero to Steve. That's probably a huge inspiration to look up to. This dad that I don't really know too well, but like here he is just crushing it.
He had balls bigger than anyone I've ever seen.
A teammate shoves Rocky in the water.
I'm so proud that that's my father that did those things.
On the old TV, a close-up depicts Rocky beaming at his audience. At a home in the woods, words appear. Kyoto, Japan. Steve, Kevin, Chizuru, and another man look at photos. Words appear. Mr. Kojima, Rocky's longtime friend.
I love these photos. Yeah,
this is.
You know, this is like his early years.
Yeah,
look at his mustache.
Steve, you have that too now.
Steve rubs his mustache. In subtitles, Kevin asks Kojima, "Do you have any interesting memories of our father?" He responds, "I remember the first time we went in the balloon. We got caught in a tree and fell. 6 months later, we were ready to try again. That's when we flew to San Francisco.
That was the second attempt to go, to cross the Pacific.
Yes.
Preparing to fly, Rocky wears an oxygen mask. Chizuru, in subtitles. Did you believe that Rocky would make it to the U.S.? Kojima answers, to the U.S.? I thought he would make it. He said that Mount Fuji looked very beautiful during his flight. Before they got to San Francisco, the balloon went up too high. So the balloon froze and it started descending. It descended almost to the ocean surface. So they dropped their cameras and all their belongings, and the balloon started rising up again, and they made it to North America. Footage of the expedition depicts Mount Fuji on a bright, clear day. Rocky and his team throw things from the balloon. It soars over a coastline. In a wooded area, rescuers retrieve them from the landed balloon.
Doing all these things. It's insane.
Kojima, nobody in Japan was doing stuff like that back then.
Now Steve is like Rocky. He's just, jumping, and I just worry about, I don't want to be like second Rocky, So I say, wow, another Rocky.
Rocky on a Sports Illustrated cover.
It was incredible what was happening with just one person. It makes sense that he did Benihana. He's trying to create a show for the American audience, not just at the restaurant, but in his own personal life.
Black and white photos of Rocky.
He was a showman.
A young, short-haired Rocky wears a suit. Holding a cigar, he sits in a director's chair. On a black background, words appear. In the 6 months leading up to Madison Square Garden, Steve will play over 140 shows on his world tour. In a luxurious high-rise bedroom, Steve sleeps. he turns off the alarm. In a room with floor-to-ceiling windows, he does push-ups. In voiceover.
I've been Steve's manager for over 10 years. I've never seen anyone that works this hard. You know, I remember a couple years into it, people would tell me I would need to get him to slow down because he can't keep up at this pace and he'll burn himself out, you know, in the next year or two. And here we are 8, 9 years later, and he's only picked up steam.
Matt Cullen, Steve's manager. As Steve talks on the phone, words appear. Split Croatia. In a studio.
Dylan's shaking his head. He said there's no miscommunication. He's standing right in front of me.
It's on the Google Docs.
It's on the Google Docs, he says. If we can be efficient with the time, then let's be efficient with the time. And like, Matt, you should know that. You know, like, you know how we are with LA time. Yeah, but you're a fucking manager. You need to fucking deal with this shit. Don't fucking throw it off your hands and say, like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
This morning, we had a whole argument with Steve. He's upset that he flew from Sweden to Vegas yesterday.
He gets off a plane.
He had a 3 o'clock set.
Steve cakes a fan.
Then he had an interview for PBS.
Wedding cake?
Yeah. Then he had a set at Hakkasan in Vegas. He finishes at like 4:30. Got a 6 a.m. lobby call.
Barely surviving.
Flies to LA, lands at 9:30. At 11:30, he has to be at a music video shoot.
Steve headbangs at a shoot.
It's a 10-hour shoot. Then he has a studio session with Will.i.am. Tomorrow he's got a radio at 8 in the morning.
Steve Aoki, welcome back to the neighborhood.
Interviews all day long.
1, 2, 3.
And then he has a flight at like 6 o'clock back to Ibiza.
Steve gets off a plane.
The argument today, he's like, when do I sleep?
In a car, Matt smirks as Steve sleeps. Steve boards his personal jet in slow motion. He looks out at the sea as the plane takes off.
Last year, I cracked over 300 shows across the world.
Steve plays at concerts. In an office, words appear. Gary Richards, founder, Hard Events.
I've never seen anyone play as many shows as that guy fucking plays.
With Tiësto.
His work ethic is amazing.
Steve pumps his arms and jumps.
Oh, Steve is a machine.
Laidback Luke, DJ, producer, with Diplo.
He uses the quintessential grind of DJs.
Guinness Book of World Records contacted us and said that by miles flown, Steve was the most traveled musician in the world.
Steve rides in a helicopter with Afrojack.
He works too hard. Like right now, Steve, tell me right now, relax.
At concerts, Steve crowd surfs, chugs champagne, and cakes his fans. Now he rides in a car with Tiernan.
He's so driven and he's so passionate about his work that he sort of forgets he needs to have a bit of a personal life.
At various shows, Steve crowd surfs. He sprays water from a fire hose over the audience with Diplo.
Every opportunity he had, he took it.
To do that many shows, you have to play everywhere.
We're in Europe.
We made it to Torreon, Mexico.
Traveling all around the world.
Came all the way to Beijing just to have this duck.
Steve was the first guy to like go, I'm going to go Vietnam. I'm going to go like everywhere in Asia that's going to book me and I'm going to make my name bigger there. He was the first guy I remember that went to Kuala Lumpur. He was just going there like, his flag down.
He leaps into the crowd with a Dutch flag.
By doing that for 3 or 4 years, we've become able to tour all the time.
With Steve's European manager.
We got 3 shows on that day and 3 shows on this day. This day here, though, we probably have to drive quite a bit of it anyway.
That walkway just turns into a really nice bed for the whole tour.
Steve rides and sleeps on various planes. Now he performs a series of shows.
He's like a prophet that actually wants to go out and go to as many cities as possible and have as many people see him as possible.
Every year, it was magnifying what he was doing. I wish I had done that as well because he just was putting his name out there.
I am addicted to that feeling of being on the road and having that connection with all these fans.
Steve laughs and cheers amid various crowds of fans.
These fans are everything to him. I don't think he would ever say no to someone.
Grinning, he hugs a fan.
Without that energy, I don't know what he would do.
In a studio office, Oliver Luckett, CEO, the audience.
Steve Aoki is probably the most recorded human being on the planet. He has become one of the largest celebrities in the world inside of the internet.
He's 24/7 Mr. Entertainment. He's quite an unusual guy to hang around with.
Steve swings a sword.
And if you get to, you know, mid-30s, 40 years old, and you're at the top of your game, it's dangerous to your competition because you're 24/7. I mean, it's also dangerous for the artist himself.
A rapid series of shots depict more concerts. Steve jumps off the stage, cut to black. At a cloudy beach, a low cinder block wall runs along the shore. Steve walks atop it, looking out at the ocean.
I've never seen him sit still for longer than maybe a couple of hours. He can't stop. It's just not in his nature.
Steve floats on his back in the ocean.
To stop for him and start to be in his head and think about things really kind of almost scares him. He always has to have people around when I'm not there. He'll have people in his room basically until he goes to sleep, just because he doesn't want to be alone.
Steve continues floating peacefully. In an office, Steve types on his phone as Matt sits nearby. Words appear. Dr. Nasseri's office, Los Angeles.
Have you actually not said a single word? It's been, what, 2 weeks now? Have you been able to get, like, even, like, a whisper out?
Steve holds up his phone.
I have been taking notes on my experience on how I have enriched my life and made this for the better.
Really? Did you feel like this kind of sort of coming on, like, 7, 8 years ago?
Not really, because back then I thought it was natural that I should lose my voice after screaming.
It's weird.
Words appear. For the past 2 weeks, Steve has been recovering from throat surgery. In order to save his voice, cysts were removed from his vocal cords that developed after years of abuse performing. Now with the doctor.
All right, Steve, you ready? Everything's going well. The cough is better. Good. Not too much irritation. Tongue out?
The doctor holds a long, thin medical camera.
Look this way.
Recording.
And
he looks inside Steve's throat with a camera.
Big breath.
On a monitor, Steve's vocal cords contract and relax.
Good. It looks perfect.
It looks so much better.
Perfect.
Recording stopped.
It looks like there is nothing there at all.
Steve pumps his fist.
Now I just need to make sure that you guys take really good care of him. In an ideal scenario, when's the next time he would be able to speak?
Like 2 more days of not speaking. No voice lessons, nothing like that for 3 weeks. No singing for a minimum of 3 weeks.
Steve hugs the doctor.
Very successful. Thank you for being so disciplined. All right.
Thank you, doctor. Pleasure.
Steve looks at photos of his vocal cords.
You ready to go, Steve? No more screamo bands in your future.
Outside the Roxy, words appear. Extremist show, Los Angeles. Steve performs with Travis Barker. Steve puts his arm around Travis' shoulder, then kisses the side of his head. Later, Steve heads down a staircase backstage.
As I was growing up, I found hardcore as, like, my salvation.
The stage crew nods as he passes them.
After I graduated from high school, I chose UC Santa Barbara because there was a thriving DIY hardcore community there.
In black and white, young Steve dances for the camera. Words appear, Santa Barbara, California, 1997.
From that moment on, music was my life. Through the music, I was able to find ways to express all my angst and frustration and insecurities and actually reclaim my voice.
A sequence of photos depicts young Steve performing vocals. With a brown-haired man, words appear. Mike Mowry, college roommate, artist manager.
4 of us decided to move into this 2-bedroom apartment. It was probably like 500 square feet between 2 floors.
The space was small, so we cleared it out and we threw in as many people as we could and we started throwing shows. We call it the Pickle Patch.
Posters read The Rapture, Jimmy Eat World, Chick 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 at the drive-in.
We did over 450 bands.
Posters continue, The Kills, AFI, now with Dan Cena.
Steve was having shows there, you know, 3-4 times a week. He was developing personal relationships with these people. It was easy for him to be like, hey, you know, I really liked your band. I'm going to start a record label. I want to put out a record for you. And his contribution was starting Dimmock.
On a heavy metal wall, an engraving reads Dimmock.
The label started when I was 19. I was like delivering greasy food and doing telemarketing. I didn't know how to run a label.
In black and white, a crowd cheers.
One of the most important things I've learned in college and being part of this community and the scene is that you could do absolutely anything.
From above the crowd, Steve dives backward off a staircase. He cheers as his fans hold him up. In a music studio.
All the things I was doing in college, putting on shows in my living room, being vegan, living in a co-op, to the political activism I was doing on campus, to even graduating with women's studies, all these things, my father, he just didn't understand it. On paper, I was polar opposite from what my father was.
Rocky in a stretch limo.
He was very much a flashy symbol of extravagance.
With Chizuru in subtitles, he had everything that I didn't have. That's what attracted me to him. Retro footage depicts Rocky's mansion with Kevin.
My dad was running around building restaurants, driving powerboats, flying balloons across the country. He had his own way of doing things.
Kevin smiles with Devin.
There was no family without my mother and Steve's mother. You know, they kept the show going. They kept my father alive.
Rocky stands in a group of celebrating beauty queens. He kisses two of them, then smiles at the camera with Chizuru. I never knew where he was. That caused a rift between us and we grew apart. In voiceover.
My first marriage was a fiasco. I have six kids from 3 years old to 18 years old. I don't see them that much. I stay away from my family probably two-thirds of my life. So I feel sorry for my kids.
Rocky and young Steve ride a scooter.
Business comes number one, and health comes number two, and family comes number three.
Rocky gives an interview. A photo of teenage Steve staring blankly at the camera. Mike Mowry.
You're dejecting, like, what your parents stand for. But eventually you presume that he's trying to, you know, prove something to his dad. Like, look, I'm not the kid that you either wanted to abandon or just didn't care about. You know, I am somebody.
Rocky and teenage Steve smile.
You know, my dad asked me, hey, put Steven into Benihana. Let him try it. And, you know, I just remember what my dad did to me. And I figured, look, you know, I'm going to just push him, you know, not as hard as my dad pushed me, but push him a little bit hard. And he peeled onions all day until he was crying, just to show my father's little work ethic. But he probably realized that he didn't like the restaurant business after he worked there for 3 months.
At the restaurant, Steve wears goggles, his mouth hanging in exhaustion. On a sunny street, we pass palm trees.
I told Steve, if you're not involved in the business, it's risky.
Over a bustling city, a blur of cars pass down a freeway. Words appear. Los Angeles, 2000.
In 22, I moved to LA. And my main focus here was to turn Dimmock into a business. My father, he didn't really support the idea.
A photo of young Rocky drawing floor plans.
He'd always say, you need to get a job. You need to do something with your life. I wanted to prove to him that I could be successful with music.
On a two-story building, a sign reads, Dimmock Records, World Headquarters.
During that time, I got my first investment from these two friends of mine.
We both just really believed in Steve. We didn't invest, we just let him borrow some money.
Good Charlotte.
They were able to pay for an office space in this kind of abandoned house.
It was a shithole. You'd never know that he came from any kind of wealth.
Danny Masterson.
I find it difficult when people say Steve Aoki, you know, Silver Spoon DJ. He got absolutely no help from our father financially. He struggled. He struggled in the beginning.
A storage room packed with merchandise.
In 2003, I first heard Block Party. The next year, we released the EP and it changed the label forever.
Luke Muldering, former GM, Dimmock.
Block Party put us on the map in a way that attracted comparable bands.
On a spinning record, several labels appear. Klaxons, Pretty Girls Make Graves, Gossip, Battles, Neon Blonde, Willows, The Kills.
By the time 2005 rolled around, at least the industry knew what Dimmock was and they knew about me.
In his high-rise apartment, Steve sits at his recording computer. He listens to headphones. With Luke.
I'm not sure what his aspirations of being a DJ were, but as far as him being like this huge international like DJ, that was just like not even imaginable.
With Mike.
To go and become a DJ in the LA night scene made no sense to us.
Footage of Hollywood street signs and nightclubs. Words appear, Hollywood, 2003.
My friend was throwing a party called Fucking Awesome.
Young Steve DJs.
He was like, okay, why don't we team up and you could DJ and we'll call it like the Dimmock Party. When I started DJing, I really started playing punk and hardcore records. I knew nothing about the DJ world.
Danny Masterson.
He partnered with Cobra Snake, who was taking these incredible photos of these beautiful kids just going crazy. Everything looked like New Year's.
Photos depict wild club parties. Inside the Cobra shop, words appear. Cobra Snake, best friend, photographer.
Most of the time he was shirtless, just sweating, crowd surfing into this tight group, pouring vodka and Red Bull in everybody's mouths.
Photos depict Steve pouring drinks on the crowd. With Afrojack.
Dimmock Tuesdays was like my first gig ever in America.
DJs playing.
You'd have A-Track, the Bloody Beetroots, Thomas Bangalter from Daft Punk, the whole Headbanger crew from France.
Autoerotic, Dimmock artist.
It was like Boys Noize's first DJ LA show, Dirty South's first LA show, Lady Gaga's first shows. Justice and Mastercraft played the same night together.
Photos of celebrities in the crowd.
The party was entirely free. We were DJing for free. It was very much like the Pickle Patch.
In a white-walled room, words appear. Will.i.am, Black Eyed Peas.
It was an amazing scene. Since then, there hasn't been anything like it.
In photos, Steve DJs and parties with the audience. Images form a slideshow of him crowd surfing on different nights. With Diplo.
Steve brought a rock and roll attitude to dance music that didn't exist.
A music video intercuts with live performances.
That night really started the electro movement in LA.
No one had seen it before. It was cutting edge for the time.
Steve dances with the Bloody Beetroots.
It was crunchy, overcompressed, and it was all about punk rock.
The Bloody Beetroots, producer DJ, with Jason Bentley.
He saw the DIY ethic that he had grown up on with straight edge punk rock. He saw that imbued in this new movement.
Fans swarm around Steve.
This train is leaving the station and I'm gonna be on it.
In a photo, a young man sits in a club. He wears a black leather jacket and slotted sunglasses.
At that same time, I befriended DJ AM.
Words appear, Adam Goldstein, DJ AM.
He became a big role in my life.
Footage of Steve and AM DJing.
He was the king of DJing the mashups. He was so technically skilled with turntables, tricks. All the DJs were going there to watch and learn.
Travis Barker.
You couldn't help but look up to AM.
Photos of AM and Travis performing.
He was a real friend.
AM was many things to me. He defined what friendship should be.
Photos of AM and Steve.
He became a guru to me as a DJ. He brought me into understanding the philosophy of being a DJ.
They did tons and tons of shows together. They would travel together. And they just built up a really close bond.
I never thought about myself as a DJ. I always thought about myself as a promoter and record label guy.
In photos, Steve wears brass knuckles that spell Dimmock. He cheers with his crowd.
In 2005, this magazine called BPM comes to me and was like, we want to put you on the cover of our magazine.
We view Steve's cover.
A DJ magazine wants to put me on the cover? Oh shit, this is real, this is happening.
With Will.i.am.
To me, Steve was successful even if he just stood doing Dimmock Tuesdays and Banana Splits. So those were great cultural destinations in Los Angeles. Shit was fresh.
Steve works in an audio bay. With Diplo.
When people come and go, and they're gonna like look back, Steve Aoki's gonna have a huge impact on what happened.
With Matt.
Even though you may not say Steve Aoki made EDM huge, Steve Aoki was one of those stepstones.
In the audio bay, Steve takes off his headphones and rubs his bearded chin. A tattoo on the back of his right arm reads Dimmock. The sun rises over a sprawling city. In a time lapse, headlights blur across an overpass and crowds of people zip across the streets. Words appear, Tokyo, Japan.
When it comes to like passionate people, go-getters, hustlers, manifestors, whatever you want to call them, Steve Aoki is that guy. There's a wall in front of him. He's a hustler. He goes around it, over it, under it, through it. Everyone else are hating because they don't know how to do that.
As Steve walks down a hall, negative tweets appear.
I try not to live in the world of the YouTube comments or the Instagram comments. I'm a human being too, though, you know? So as much as I want to not let it affect me, you know, if I read it or see it, it does.
If I listen to the haters, I'll be working at some record shop telling you what I really like and why everything else sucks. If the haters had their way, Black Eyed Peas would have stopped at joints and jams, and that's it.
Steve takes the stage at a packed stadium with Jason Bentley.
I was really excited by everything that he was doing as a DJ and curator with the mashups and with indie rock and punk ideas.
Steve waves as he exits the stage with Gary Richards.
As he got bigger, he kind of changed his sound and his style. I don't know why.
With Afrojack.
People are going to say, yo, man, you a sellout. You suck, man. Why you change?
Clips of Steve performing intercut with negative comments. A meme of Steve reads, not even a hit of K could make Steve Aoki an enjoyable deep house act. A concert crowd reaches out towards Steve on stage.
I mean, there's definitely times when I think, okay, I've caked over 1,500 people, maybe more.
In slow motion, Steve cakes another crowd.
But then when you go out there on stage and you see the signs come up and you see people that want it so bad, it's hard to change that. In the given moment, I don't really think about anyone outside those four walls.
His fans cheer as they get caked.
No matter what you think about his music or what do you think about what he does in the scene, nobody can ever deny it. Steve loves what he does.
Clips of various performers playing and singing with Steve.
You get the criticism for collaborating outside of your scene, outside of your world, but it doesn't bother me what people say, because as long as I believe in the music that's coming out of my studio with the people I'm working with, that's all that matters.
Laser lights intersect in the air above the crowd. Steve holds up a champagne bottle and waves goodbye to the audience. In a city, skyscrapers loom on the horizon. Words appear. Radio Z100 New York. As Steve talks with the DJ, words appear. Mo Bounce, radio DJ.
Mo here on Z100. Welcome to the studio with Steve Aoki.
I have like so much stuff going on in my head. I've finally announced that I'm playing Madison Square Garden.
Yes, that's my kind of a big deal.
Yeah, massive show, biggest show of my career.
Yeah.
And releasing my album 1 week before. I can't believe this is real.
In an audio bay, Steve activates equipment. Words appear. Steve's studio, Los Angeles.
I've been touring nonstop lately, so the hardest part is carving out enough time to finish my album.
In a recording room, a rapper bobs his head to the beat. Words appear. Kid Ink, hip-hop artist.
And when you sing it, imagine...
Fuck yeah.
You got Kid Ink smokes a joint as they record. Later, he drinks champagne.
Want to go over the lyrics?
What was it?
Well, it's definitely a call and response for the okay. So it's like, something for a ride, I'll take you to the sky high.
Let me get your hand.
Did you get that?
Yeah, that's cool. Then.
Give me some of that out to the sun. Twisted and burned out. Ain't nobody stop us.
Let me hear that.
I'm the worst rhymer in the history of rhymers.
That's why I'm not a rapper.
Okay.
In the audio bay, Steve listens on headphones, bobbing his head to the beat.
Fucking dope. Fucking dope.
Give me some of that. Everybody go.
A concert goes wild. Steve plays at the center of a giant sign spelling Aoki. A gushing blast of red confetti fills our view. On his private jet, Steve and his tour staff sleep. On a black background, words appear. With 2 months remaining until his album release, Steve returns to Europe to finish his summer tour. In the cockpit, the pilots hit switches on their control panel, with Diplo.
I don't think Steve ever expected to make it to Vegas, to make it to have a homestead in Ibiza. It's like everywhere you think Steve won't go, he was there.
Sailing on a yacht, words appear. Ibiza, Spain. Steve smiles with the wind in his hair.
I first started coming to Ibiza in 2007. The fringier, like, louder sounds of dance music were not really embraced.
Michael Fien, Steve's European manager.
There were certain DJs that we won't mention that would give him a bit of a hard time.
I've never felt so not wanted.
Steve rides in a car.
No one was doing what he was doing, bringing a show to Ibiza.
He got smart with what he was doing, and it really clicked last year.
You can't underestimate this guy. He's going to win. He's, like, determined, you know? He definitely was, like, the place to be last summer.
Steve DJs for a packed club. Cutouts of his Silhouette logo hang from the rafters. Words appear. Pacha, Aoki's Playhouse. A fan cheers covered in cake. Go-go dancers perform on raised platforms throughout the audience, and gouts of mist blast down from the ceiling. On a coastal hillside, we drift over a white three-story estate. Words appear. Steve's Villa, Ibiza.
When I think about all the festivals out there, there's no other festival that makes me so nervous than Tomorrowland.
Inside, Steve works at a recording computer, tapping out the beat by hand.
I know how influential the festival is. So when you're standing up there and you're DJing and you're looking out, you can't not get nervous.
Steve gets off of his private jet. As he rides in a car, words appear. Brussels, Belgium.
There's certain shows that Steve's done in his career that changed how people looked at him overnight.
The sun sets behind a sign reading Tomorrowland. Concertgoers dance on a bridge.
Closing Tomorrowland was a massive milestone for Steve.
Various festival crowds dance.
I mean, that festival is like the quintessential European dance music festival.
At Tomorrowland, a young man blows bubbles in a dancing crowd. Legions of fans fill the grounds at multiple stages, with Pete Tong.
It's an achievement in itself to actually get on the bill and then elevate yourself to one of the big slots on one of the key stages.
As audiences dance, festival goers wave the flags of various European countries. A crowd jumps and cheers in slow motion. Backstage, fireworks burst above the towering metal scaffolding. Words appear. Main stage, Tomorrowland.
You can see in his head that he's actually really trying to concentrate.
Steve puts his hands on his head.
He can get a little bit nervous, which is cool. It's cool that he still gets like that.
He heads out toward the stage, ducking beneath crisscrossed metal beams. In voiceover.
I've been very lucky to be able to close the main stage for the last 3 years. It's got to be one of the most epic feelings I've ever experienced.
Pyrotechnics blast on stage as Steve walks out.
Closing out main stage anywhere on a festival is insane.
Embedded in the back wall of the stage, a giant masquerade mask looms over the crowd. A row of fireworks blast off above it.
That's such an incredible performance space. It was just obvious to me that he was going to smash it.
An azure pinwheel is projected onto the stage wall below the mask. Stepping in front of it, Steve starts playing at his turntables. The youthful audience dances in the deep blue glow of the stadium's lights. The color shifts to gold, then red. Now they cycle rapidly through different colors as the music escalates. The masses clap along. A huge red flare burns in the center of the stadium. Steam and jets of fire launch out over the crowd. Steve stands on a platform, surrounded by cheering legions of fans. He raises his hands to the sky, and a swarm of purple fireworks burst in the air. Confetti showers the euphoric crowd. From a dark balcony, Steve waves goodbye to the festival audience. On a black background, words appear. During Steve's summer tour, his album fell behind, forcing him to push his album release show at MSG. Steve has tasked his management with finding a new date to coincide with the release. Outside a classically styled hotel, words appear. New York, New York.
8th floor.
Inside, Matt walks down a hall.
Anyways, I wanted to quickly go over MSG.
He knocks at Steve's room and they talk inside.
So the news isn't great. The short answer is that it took us a year to get that hold. And to jump to the end, it's going to take us that long to try and get one back. So we tried to get one for this year. Nothing's available.
You're saying MSG is totally out.
MSG is out for the foreseeable future. We can get back in line. The next even foreseeable option would be next summer, but then you go to Europe. And by then, both albums are out. As far as album one goes, it would be a full year later.
I just don't understand how there's no other...
Because obviously this is our first time doing something of this size and scale. People book this stuff out a year and a half out. There was a date in January, there was a date in February, there was a date in April. All of them fell through. We lost our bid to whatever other ice capades or, you know, Bieber concert was happening.
Steve shuts his eyes.
I wish I had better news.
Steve looks away, wringing his hands.
I know the show meant a lot to you.
Steve looks down at the floor, then rests his chin on his folded hands. Soaring in the sky, we look out at the sunset. Steve disembarks from his private jet.
With his dad, from day one, it was always about, look what I did. Look what I'm accomplishing.
An image depicts teenage Steve listening to headphones.
Everything he ever accomplished, send it to my dad. You know, can you frame this and send it to my dad? I think it was just about showing his dad that, look, in many ways, I can uphold the Aoki legacy.
Rocky smiles in a framed magazine cover.
By like 06, 07, I started making money. I would show him like, look, I made my first $10,000 and I'm working this much this month and I'm getting booked here and there.
At a concert, Steve holds a champagne bottle up toward the crowd.
I remember this is during the summer of 08. By then he had become a popular DJ, by no means a household name.
A photo of Rocky with a blank expression.
And then his dad's health started failing.
Wrinkles extend from his tired eyes.
Once we found out that he got hepatitis C, we realized that this is something that's going to be very difficult to walk away from.
In photos, Rocky grows progressively older.
He later got diabetes and then liver cirrhosis, which led to tumors.
Rocky with graying hair, with Dan Cena.
Steve definitely, at that time, made it more of a point to go and see his dad and spend more time with him and really get to know his dad, because he didn't really have much of an opportunity to do that growing up as a kid.
In a photo, Rocky and Chizuru smile with their children, with Kevin.
You know, the last
few years of my father's life, all of us kids were always trying to rally together. When we all got together, you know, Stephen would always try to, you know, bring a positive note to all his kids. He had this thing called a, you know, positive go, and he would point.
Kevin points upward with his first two fingers.
Even to this day, I remember my dad remembering that positive go that Stephen has.
In Rocky's hospital room, he and his children do the positive go point.
I remember being in the hospital, and I mean, this is like his last couple days. There was one moment when I finally had time with him. It was just me and him. And it was actually the first time when I ever cried so much. I never cried in front of my dad, you know, I never did that. And I just, like all those years, I think everything all came out. It was, because he's not the kind of guy that, like, you know, you don't cry with him, you know. He's very much a patriarch. He's very masculine. He's very Japanese in that way, you know. You just can't show that side if you're a guy, you know. If you're a daughter, if you're a Devin or Echo or Grace, you can do that, but, you know, you can't do that with him as a son. And it's like, I'm just so happy that I was able to show him that. You know, it was really one of the most emotionally connected moments I ever had with him. And there's no words exchanged at all. It was just, yeah, it was, it's something that, like, I'm so happy that happened. Just so he can feel how much he meant to me.
Steve and his family walk through a cemetery. Steve carries a thin vertical sign written in Japanese. In a storage room, shelves hold wooden buckets with ritual hand-washing ladles. With Devin.
It affected Steve really, really badly.
The family stands at Rocky's headstone. Kevin bows to it, and Steve puts his sign among a group of others.
We never really believed that my dad could be taken down by anything.
Kevin hands incense to the others. Steve bows to the headstone.
He was such a challenger. I thought he was indestructible. I thought he would live forever.
Holding a pair of burning incense twigs, Steve kneels before the tall stone monument.
I believed that up until the day he died.
His head bowed, Steve brings his hands together in prayer.
The last thing that he did was he wrote the words, "I'm going to challenge this," on a piece of paper.
Steve walks alone through the cemetery toward a traditional Japanese shrine. Can I keep away from you? Later, the shrine stands behind him as he walks.
When I first met Steve, I spoke to him almost every night about his dad because I was fascinated by it. I was like, "Where you come from? This is fucking crazy."
A photo of Rocky smiling.
I think that he's motivated by whatever weird passion his father had, because his father seemed like an insane person too.
In a montage, Steve skydives, drives a dune buggy, surfs, snowboards, dives off a cliff, and flies a stunt plane.
An adrenaline junkie. You know, whether he was competing as a snowboarder to cliff diving, skydiving, he just loves adrenaline.
Trailing smoke, the stunt plane tumbles wildly.
And the biggest high he gets is the live performance.
Thousands of fans cheer at an outdoor concert.
Performing your music and having that connection with those thousands of people, that is the ultimate rush. And that is the truest of addictions.
In slow motion, Steve leaps off a towering cliff into the ocean.
Steve's a relentless addict. He kind of jumps from like addiction to addiction. He gets obsessed with things. Right now it's health. Thank God. I'd much rather be yelling at promoters for not delivering alkaline water, then yelling at promoters because he needs another bottle of vodka.
Backstage, Steve jogs in place, then hops up and down continuously.
For a while, he was a big drinker.
On stage, Steve tilts his head back and pours a bottle of champagne into his mouth.
I was always nervous when I would start DJing. And I would get drunk all the time. I mean, I was drinking all the time.
Champagne drips from his beard as he slings the bottle around.
To the point that me and Adam actually talked about, just a step below an intervention.
Photos of Steve drinking heavily and looking hungover.
Adam had been sober for a dozen years.
A photo of AM and a girl.
He was like the king of sobriety.
The girl holds a bottle of vodka.
He's gotten so dark in his life from being so controlled and consumed by drugs that he tried to take his life.
A photo of Steve and AM DJing.
In one instance that he did put the gun to his head, the latch didn't go. It spoke to him in a way that he needed to completely change. It's crazy that you have to get to that dark, deep place in order for you to change.
Sitting at a poolside bar, Steve reads a text message.
I get this BBM from a poker friend of mine.
He looks up from his phone.
Yo, did you hear about AM?
It hit me pretty hard. I remember just closing the door to my office and calling Steve back.
Matt just said that, you know, Adam's dead.
A headline reads, DJ AM found dead from fatal overdose with Travis Barker.
After he passed away, it was like, I can't believe I lost him. You know, it was like
He brings his hands together and presses them to his lips.
I remember Steve had a show that night.
Lights flash at the show.
I didn't understand how to express myself, how to like to deal with it. But I was just really in a dark place.
Standing motionless, Steve looks out over the raucous crowd.
And then I played. And 30 minutes in, I play this Daft Punk record. And Daft Punk was the artist that me and AM, we bonded over. That's when I just broke down. I was crying like I couldn't believe I was crying and playing it. And
Steve cries out as he plays.
I had a hard time DJing. I had to cut my set short. That same moment with my father, like it all kind of came out.
His eyes closed, Steve holds a hand in the air. Fireworks burst in the night sky.
He took it harder than almost he took his own father's passing.
AM's funeral procession.
And that was it for me as far as drinking. I was done.
Steve slings champagne onto a crowd.
There's no reason. I had two very close people in my life die.
At a festival, Steve walks through a dark lot amid the stage crew vehicles.
I think about it still so shocking that he's gone.
As the fireworks continue, he steps toward the lighted area at the edge of the lot.
He's one of the best human beings I actually ever met.
DJing, Steve and AM smile.
So I feel very grateful to have had someone like that in my life.
With Travis.
There were so many other people that he touched. He was always so positive and always helping everyone around him.
At AM's memorial, a collection of flowers and notes from loved ones.
He always said one thing, starve the ego, feed the soul. I mean, that's one thing everyone can live by.
On a black background, words appear. After canceling MSG, Steve decided to relocate his album release show to Los Angeles as a thank you to his hometown. Unable to find a suitable venue, he looks to create his own event on the streets of LA, at DeMock offices.
I needed to go through a disaster like MSG not happening in order to see why and what makes Steve Aoki.
Wearing a suit, Steve enters LA City Hall.
And that's LA. That's going back to LA, going back to my roots.
Inside, he walks down a hall.
All the people supporting me, those are the people I really need to be cherishing, and I really need to be investing my time and you know, obviously this big show tour.
In a conference room, Steve meets with Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti.
What I loved when we first collaborated together when I was running, it was the most hilarious fundraiser I think I've ever done.
Yeah.
Because half of the people were your fans who had no idea who I was. The others were a bunch of my supporters who probably had never heard of Steve Aoki. And it was this mix of like the craziest combinations of people suddenly finding, you know, champagne on their face and and cakes in their hair. And it's not just politics, but getting involved in the city.
Right.
I mean, I love this friendship to do that, because
absolutely,
if we can get your fans to help be part of their own city, they're going to love it.
That's exactly the vibe, you know? Like, I don't want this to be an ordinary Aoki show. I want this to be on the streets of L.A. I want it to be free.
Downtown, I think, would be a hot place to do it because, you know, right now the revitalization that's going on, especially in the old corridors, you know, Spring Street where you guys have your office, Broadway, which is, I mean, Broadway has all those old theaters. I don't know. I think it would be a great place
for
you to look
amazing.
At. That's a win-win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's a homecoming for you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, big time.
Yeah. Do you want me to call New York and tell them the bad news? I mean, I'm happy to if you need me to. My friend,
if anyone can do it, then you can do it.
He's a great mayor, but, you know, I can call him and let him know that it's going to be LA this time.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right.
Mayor, thanks so much.
Oh, yeah. All love, man.
They hug.
Really excited to do this.
This is great.
They both jump and tap their heels together. A headline announces the concert.
I'm Mayor Eric Garcetti, and I approve of this show.
He smiles with a thumbs up. He and Steve high five. We soar over LA at evening. Footage plays from various shows.
The famous DJ partnered with LA Mayor Eric Garcetti as a way to celebrate the city.
A free concert with a civic-minded twist.
They're calling it LA Aoki.
Steve Aoki is here.
Steve Aoki is here.
Steve Aoki.
We're talking to Steve Aoki.
Steve Aoki.
Steve Aoki.
Steve Aoki.
My album just came out Tuesday.
His album's called Neon Future.
Neon Future.
Neon Future. Number one on iTunes already, bro.
This guy has created a global movement.
Steve, thanks for coming in. We always appreciate it.
Steve, thanks for being here on Amp Radio. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you for coming by, my G.
Steve Aoki, everybody!
Steve Aoki, ladies and gentlemen!
At a radio show, Steve takes off his headphones. We fly between towering buildings, looking down at the street. Words appear. LA Aoki, 6th and Broadway. We look out over the tightly packed structures. On the ground, a street sign reads, Broadway.
This is 100% the most unique place I've ever done a show.
Steve walks in the street.
Every significant milestone in my music career all stemmed from being in LA.
On an arch of balloons, inflated silver letters read, LA Aoki.
Whether it was like Dimmock Records, to me starting to DJ, starting to produce electronic music, that was all just being here.
A crew prepares the stage.
This is about the culture that I represent. Bringing back the parties that we did at Cinespace, the Dimmock Tuesdays, the Banana Splits, and that underground element.
In a photo, AM crowd surfs with his hands up.
AM would absolutely love to be part of this because he was all about giving back to the community. There's a parallel with that and what we're doing here. We're taking over the streets.
Traffic lights blink yellow in the closed-off streets.
That's punk rock, man.
As the crew finishes their work, Matt talks to Steve.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
What's happening?
It's just pretty crazy. Just shutting down like the middle of downtown. You happy with the production?
Yeah.
When you go out there, it's pretty cool. If you stand on the stage, you can see like five sets of street lamps all blinking red and yellow intermittently.
It's very cool.
It's like a street rave.
Yeah.
Dancing girls pass under the balloon arch. Fans dance in the street as more people arrive. A trio of men perform acrobatics. Steve takes a photo with a fan. At night, people in rave outfits fill the streets. In a social hall with a domed ceiling, words appear. Green room, pre-show. Steve's family comes to see him.
Hey, Mom.
He gives his mom a hug and a kiss.
It's okay, Mom. Don't worry.
Steve embraces and laughs with his loved ones.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
At night, we look down over the glittering lights of L.A. Words appear. 9 p.m., showtime. Steve and his staff leave the green room on their way to the stage. On stage, the audience extends into the distance, completely filling the street. The fans up front record the stage with their phones. Sitting behind his turntables, Steve adjusts his pants cuff and ties his hair back. He reaches up to twist a knob on the turntable. He stands up. Mist cannons shoot off as the crowd jumps with the beat. Multicolored lights flash over the audience. A bird's eye view shows the packed intersection. Travis Barker plays the drums. Lights beam out over the audience.
How you doing out there, Los Angeles? This is crazy. Three city blocks in LA for us.
Chizuru and Steve's sister Grace cheer him on. They wave to him with their phones. Chizuru speaks in voiceover. At first, I was shocked when I saw him perform. We never imagined that Steven would become so famous. I think that Rocky would be so proud of Steve. I'm sure that Steve would also... She brings a hand to her nose. In subtitles, want Rocky to see his accomplishments. She nods, blinking back tears. A Benihana chef spins a wet towel on the grill. Later, he slices a steak. Fans at Eleoki hold their cell phones up. Their phone lights shine as they wave them back and forth in unison. The chef tosses a spinning egg, cracking it as it lands on the side of a spatula. He throws shrimp tails into the top of his hat, with Devin.
I go to Steve's concerts, and as his little sister, I am so proud of him.
At Eleoki, Steve holds his arms out.
I can't even begin to imagine what it would be like for my dad.
As Steve pumps his hands into the air, mist cannons fire away.
You look at all the kids in that family. Somehow the black sheep, so to speak, is the one that is carrying the Aoki name on.
The chef expertly twirls his utensils as he cooks. Steam spouts from a concave stack of onion slices. On stage, robots blast steam from their arm cannons. As the chef tosses food into a guest's mouth, Steve throws cakes at his cheering fans. Shots of Steve performing at his shows intercut with footage of Rocky in his speedboat. Celebrating a race, Rocky sprays champagne from a bottle. Steve hoses his fans down with champagne. The chef continues as Steve jumps and dances on stage. Rocky's boat shoots across the water. Steve's adoring fans cheer him on. At LA Oki, Steve blasts a pair of mist guns into the sky. He sprays the crowd with them.
Thank you so much, Los Angeles. We did it, man. LA Oki, all of us.
Steve bows to his fans, and the Benihana chef bows to his guests. Steve waves goodbye to the audience. We look out over the twinkling lights of LA. After the show, Steve crosses a street. He autographs an article for one of his fans. Back in the green room, Steve reunites with his loved ones. He talks with Jazuru and Grace. The three of them hug, with Chizuru in subtitles. Rocky would probably say, "That's my son." She nods with a broad smile. In a childhood photo, Steve sits with his dad at a lunch table. Photos of Rocky with his children.
Would you raise your son or daughter the same way your dad raised you?
It's hard, you know. The tough love bit is, that's his makeup. That's how he is as a human being. I feel like I'm a big kid already, so I think I'd be a good dad, you know, because I'm, you know, I'll just be like my little kid's best buddy.
Rocky and the family smile in front of a Christmas tree.
I definitely do see how Steve considers his dad a hero. The same drive that his dad had, Steve inherited. At the same time, Steve has a massive heart, and he got that from his mom.
As Steve enters an unfinished building, words appear. Steve's new home, Las Vegas. He enters a room with wood planks laid out on the floor.
You know, I have this inherent drive to prove something to my father, but over the course of my life, when I think about the most supportive person, it would have to be my mother.
Photos appear of Steve and Chizuru throughout their lives. She smiles, holding him as a baby. With a birthday cake, she holds his shoulders as he blows out the candles. Photos of Steve as a young man smiling with her, arm in arm. They smile together in a present-day photo.
I needed that reassurance and that like, motherly love. I went back to my mom.
Steve walks through his unfinished home, surrounded by bare walls and ceiling tiles.
I made some pretty wild decisions in my life that a parent would, you know, probably walk away from, but she kind of stuck by me.
Steve runs his hands through his hair and then rubs his face.
When he became a DJ, she was hugely supportive of him. He was living in this, you know, crappy apartment, and there wasn't really that much progress. And she never doubted him for a second. She had such blind belief in him, in his potential.
A photo of young Steve kissing his mom's cheek.
My mother was always just allowing her blessing. You know, this is what you really believe in. Let's take over the world together, one little step at a time.
A childhood photo of Steve walking with his mother.
You know, as a kid, you need your parents to reinforce your ideas. Can't always be a tough guy.
In his unfinished home, Steve looks out a window at the hillside.
I guess that's the hard part about being a parent. You know, like, you got to make that decision, and it's the decision that you make can affect your child for the rest of their life.
Shots of Steve at a concert intercut with Rocky boat racing.
And they're putting it to him now. He's got the hammer down and he's really going for it.
I don't think I was supposed to succeed as a DJ. And somehow I'm in a place where I've kind of made it, but I feel like there's a lot more to go for me.
Rocky Aoki in his first comeback race since 1979, when he was almost mortally injured in San Francisco in a bad accident.
I don't really know if I can chill out. I don't know if I have the capacity. I'm always thinking like, I got a lot more to go. I got a lot more to do.
They told him he'd never do it again. They said he was crazy, but the man with 9 lives.
I'm 35 years old right now, and I just don't want to waste any time.
I think he's going to go out and win his own race today, ladies and gentlemen.
I just feel so fucking fortunate and so lucky that I'm in this position. I don't want to sleep on it.
In concert clips, a title appears, I'll Sleep When I'm Dead. In bed, a friend tries to wake Steve. He throws his pillow at the camera. Cut to black. Pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.